Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of South Haven Business Beat, where we sit down with business owners, entrepreneurs, and people from our community to learn more about ways to do business better and about ways to be able to interact and give back with our community leaders. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of sitting down with Mr. Michael Lee, who is over the Agra Education Center here in DeSoto County / Nesbitt. So thank you so much for joining us,
Michael. Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you at my table.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since we've had you around. Yep. You've been a busy fella.
I never slow down.
This Agra Ed Center's had you real busy, though.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, you know, we from the ground up, you know. Matter of fact, you know, we cut the ribbon a year in June.
Yes, sir.
So we've been there actually a year.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. It's been a wild ride already. But that's not where it started. I want you to get us started, kick us off with the vision. So when did the vision start? Where did the idea come from? Take us way on back.
Oh, I'll take you back to when I was involved and when I knew about it. So, you know, I was a county supervisor. Mm-hmm. So I know the vision. I was there for 9 years. So I know the vision started when, you know, 9 years when I was there. As a matter of fact, Supervisor Caldwell, and let's give a shout out to all of them. You know, you have Supervisor, let's start from the beginning. You got Supervisor Jesse Medlin, you got Supervisor Mark Gardner, you got Supervisor Ray Dennison, and then you have Lee Caldwell, and then you have Supervisor Robert Foster, who, mm-hmm. you know, ran for the position I was in, which was 5th District. And, you know, that was the old landfill, you know, yeah. And a lot of people who were from DeSoto County who remember, you know, that's where we used to take our trash, you know, and I think the dog pound or the was up. I know it was. It was at that location at one time also. So that place needed to be repurposed. I think the vision then, and I know Supervisor Caldwell reached out and said, you know, we need to do something with this property. We'd like to do some type of educational. It's on roughly 200 acres. You cannot build on the landfill. They won't let you do that, or you know. But you can build outside of the part that wasn't the landfill, which is actually where the Agri Center is. So, and when you go back in time, and I was born and raised here in DeSoto County, I remember. I know, right? And you may remember south of Hernanda, that's where our county barn was. You know, and I remember growing up as a kid, we had. I remember going in, and they had a Black Angus calf sale there, and the whole community came together to work the calf sale, you know, and I think 4-H and, you know, we had FFA and all those programs, you know, and so, you know, and those kind of went to the wayside a little bit, you know, and because, you know, as you grow, things kind of go in different directions. I'd say this like this, but people die off and the people who were involved, you know, are no longer involved and other people don't pick up the pieces and keep going with it. And mm-hmm. so that's where the vision started. We wanted to go back to, I guess, in time. You know, because kids aren't able to learn. And look how many kids we have in DeSoto County. What is it, about 35,000 or so? So, you know, and they don't have the same opportunities we had growing up. I grew up on a farm. I grew up, you know, my daddy bought a milk cow. So my brother Harvey and I, who was a supervisor before me, learn how to milk a cow.
Uh-huh. I have milked a cow. I can say
that. Oh, yeah, I can milk a cow.
I had an uncle that had a dairy farm in Olive Branch.
There you go.
So,
yeah. So we can make it if we have to. I mean, you know, we had our own chickens, hogs. You know, we did all these things. Mm-hmm. And now people think, well, you know, you can go to Kroger and you do those kind of things or one of the convenience stores, and you have to. I mean, that's part of life. You have to do that. I'm not taking anything away from them. But when you see your farmers markets picking up, you know, and we see what's happening, you have Hernanda Farmers Market, Olive Branch, and different farmers markets. You want the kids to learn how to do these things.
Yes.
So that's where the vision is starting. We thought, well, let's just take this place, make it a huge park, bring the vision to light. And we organized a committee, and I happened to be on that committee, you know, and we brought community leaders and people who were in the farming business together, and we brought Mississippi State Extension and those people who could help us decide what needed to go on that location and that property, you know. And so that's when it all started. We put it together. We said, oh, we need this, you know, and then see people say, oh, but you got to have this, and you got to have a roof on this, and you got to do these things. And when we put it all together, what you see on Star Landing Road, 1170 Star Landing Road West, that's what we ended up with. And, you know, you can go in and go, well, we should have done this, you know, probably needed to do this, or, you know, hindsight a little bit on things that are user-friendly issues. But other than that, it's there. And we're putting together the program. Mississippi State Extension moved up there. Soil and Water has an office up there. Conservation has water. I mean, has a place up there. And so we're trying to build it into a teaching, agriculture teaching facility. And that's what our really main focus is what we want to do, where you can come and meet, you know, just like the chamber, they come and meet, where you can come and bring your community leaders together and your groups and things like that. And I'm gonna say this a little bit because I want the, our listeners and everybody to know we're really not set up for weddings and venues and things like that. And I think the board, which it's trial and error, we've tried those things, birthday parties. We're steering away from those, and we want to get more to the educational. We want to get more to the agricultural part of it. You know, we want to get more to the community involvement. You know, I know DeSoto Hope meets there. We have things like that, you know, that fall under our 501c3. And so we kind of want to go to the banquet type side of it, teaching, education, and those things are what we're trying to really bring to the Agri Center in DeSoto County.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today. So what are all the different groups that meet there? I know that y'all were able to bring 4-H back in. And I want to say when we were there for one of our luncheons, there was Master Gardeners.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I'm gonna say now, if you want to become a Master Gardener, you need to reach out to these people. I mean, they are dedicated, hardworking individuals who come in and they come in and they meet. Matter of fact, they're meeting today. I think they're meeting tomorrow. I know they are. But they come in, they help, they don't just help at the Agri Center, they help all over. I mean, they go in, if you have a question about your gardening, and these people know exactly how to do it. If you do not have a green thumb, you know, reach out to these people. I mean, they are more than happy. And we're not just talking about gardens, we're talking about butterfly gardens, we're talking about bird sanctuaries, we're talking about honey, you know, bees, we're talking about anything that has to do with nature and agriculture. These people have somebody who specializes in that field who could help you understand how to do it and get started. If you want to start bees, you know, they'll bring in the people to help you understand how to do that, you know. And if you want to start, hey, they'll tell you which flowers the bees go to. Butterflies, if you want a butterfly garden, they'll tell you what the butterfly does, how you need to help pollinate and get your butterflies started. And you know, these things that we see, this is where lessons come in, just like your bees. And I know all about bees because my daddy had 72 beehives when he passed away. Wow. I wasn't a big fan of them because they stung me. They didn't sting him and my brother. But anyway, so yeah, we used to harvest our own honey, you know, and I'm very familiar with how that operates. But the bees are very important to this, to the community in this country.
Yes.
Period, because they pollinate the crops. If we did not have bees, we would not be eating today. So it's important that we have those type of lessons, you know. So don't kill a bee. I mean, you know, when you see one, you know, you want to kind of swat it because I know you're afraid of it. But he's important to us and he's important to the system. So, but yeah, you have the Master Gardeners. We're building a greenhouse. It's there. So I think the next time you come in, you'll see where we have a greenhouse. They call it a hoop house. But the Master Gardeners will go in and they'll start, you know, starting, you know, from little bitty plants to grow. And so we're going to build into that and teach, you know, kids and not kids, but adults who need to learn how to do it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I hadn't seen the greenhouse.
It's coming. Yeah. We have a harvest hub we're going to build. It's already on site. We're just doing some concrete issues, trying to get that settled. And then the harvest hub is where you can come in. It'll have an outdoor kitchen. to where, you know, we have a teaching kitchen in our, and so 4-H, actually, if you go on our site, DeSoto County website, agricultural website, and go to the Mississippi State Extension Office website, you can see what they offer. And they offer all kind of, they just had a canning class, you know, and if you don't know how to can your own food, I mean, and I was impressed. I mean, there was quite a few people who came to that, but we need more. You know, because people are having their own gardens. They want to can their own food now to get back to the freshness and, you know, get this junk out of their system and all that good stuff. So they're teaching people how to do that. And it's good. So, and that's your 4-H. So pay attention to what they're doing, because we have everything that they have to offer that's coming in. So.
So does your website has like calendar of events of when all of their activities are going on?
It does. And again, and you can go on theirs and you can go on their website, Mississippi State Extension Office website, and they have their calendar of everything that they're also doing at the Ag Center. And they'll post it, you know, today, you know, just we got social media. So just pay attention. Sometimes people scroll past those things, but stop on those particular items and read and look. Cause I know we posted we had a event this past weekend. It was Hernandez Saddle Club came to the outdoor arena, and it was Beat the Heat, you know, event. And they started at 6. I think we left at 11, but you know, they're free events. Those type of events are free to the public. Bring your children, bring your families down and watch what these are. Community people in your community who are doing horse shows, you know, and they do from ranch horse showing to, you know, saddle horse shows to quarter horse shows to barrel racing at the very end. So you can watch all these people participate with their horses and kids, little kids on ponies, you know, running barrels, you know. So, come out, pull you up a long chair. And when you watch these things, you want something to do. Hey, they have a concession set up. You know, it's a saddle club. Who puts it on? Hernandez Saddle Club. So you can come down here and have an event, and it's relatively cheap, doesn't cost you anything, you know?
And that's a lot of fun. People don't think about that sort of stuff a whole lot anymore, but I have a friend whose daughter does barrel racing, and she's been doing it since she was like this big. And there ain't nothing cuter than watching these itty bitties get out there, and they're so intense. It's so amazing.
Hey, and some of these like, little bitties are on big old horses.
Oh, yes.
You know, and these are powerful animals. These,
they don't
these
even
kids.
Hit mid-calf on a horse, and they're on that sucker, owning it.
Yes, yeah. Matter of fact, we have a clinic going on. There's a barrel clinic on Wednesday nights that a gentleman is putting on. And again, you can go on your website if you want to get involved in something like that. He's putting on a barrel clinic. And so I'm there on Wednesday nights also, just kind of opening the place up, you know, and watching. And it's interesting. I mean, he'll take a child, which most of them are younger, that's what it is. And then you have a lot of older ones who just need a refresher course, you know, but the barrel racing business is big business, you know? And so, it's amazing to watch him teach these kids how to ride these barrel horses.
I love that.
Yeah. It's fast.
So looking at the layout of the Agri Education Center. So I know you have the main event space, which is where we've done our luncheons, where the commercial kitchen is, where you do the teaching kitchen. And then I know there's a whole separate area where you have the outside arena and stuff where they're doing that. Beyond what you can see when you first pull up, what else is there among the grounds? Because this is a lot of acreage.
Okay, well, inside real quick, you know, we also have breakout classes. So there's two classrooms. If you want to have a small classroom or an event to where you want to teach or have a, you know, any type. As a matter of fact, we had a HOA who had a meeting there they wanted to bring in, which was a great place for them, you know, to come into. But outside the 200 acres. So remember, we cannot build anything on the landfill, but it's pristine. It's grass. The road department, Bob Jarman and his crew, they keep that, you know, mowed and nice. So you can actually come up there, walk it, have a picnic. You know, I mean, you can do those type of things on that area. But now the rest of it, we have our walking trail, okay? And that was done through grants and phases. But the walking trail is 3.5 miles. Actually, it'll end up being 3.5 miles total when they finish Star Landing, because they're widening Star Landing. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, listeners, and I had a lady call me today, our main entrance to the facility is blocked off right now. But if you go down to the the second entrance, you can come on in to see us, you know. And I know it's kind of complicated when you see road construction and things like that. Yeah. People go, well, how do I get into the building? How do I get into this place? But around us, when you first come in, you'll see a lot of construction. Well, across on the south side of the Star Landing is our EOC building, which is an Emergency Operations Center. And that's Chris Olson and his team's going to be there. So if we have a disaster in the county, that's where his crew will be. They'll be able to monitor it from storms, you know, to tornadoes, to anything like that that we may have. And they'll be able to help monitor everything in that county from that location. It's fortified. It's going to be built. It's going to be a great facility is when it's over. And it's close. I mean, they're not far from that. And so, and he has a good crew, too, if you know Chris Olson and his crew. Then if you look to where when you turn in, that's actually the National Guard Armory. So Bill Austin and his family, if you remember the Austins, they owned a part of that property that the county, we also ended up buying some of it from them, but they donated 5 acres right there for the National Guard Armory. So that's what's being built right now, and they're moving 3 units up there. And so to my understanding, it's going to be the South Haven unit. It's going to be the Hernando unit, and also Marshall County will be moving to that location. So okay. That's where your new National Guard Armory and everything's going to be. And it's big. It's nice. So anywho, so with all that being said, you got your walking trails that'll on Star Landing. That'll complete it all the way back to the trailhead, which will give us 3.5 miles of walking trail. It also, on one of our phases, we just completed, and I don't know if you've even seen this yet, but we've completed our fishing pond. Okay, we can't fish yet because I just now stocked it with fish, and they're not very big. They're small, but we ended up putting largemouth bass. We have sun perch, bluegill, and we have catfish that are in there. So we put quite a few of them in there. So we got us some signs out that says, please, no fishing. Yet. So, I mean,
how long till we can have a fish? I know. Radio? Well,
you know, that's it. That's what we want to do. So, you know, we're telling those guys to grow and eat fast. So, we put a fountain in there. So, we have an aerating fountain, you know, to help work that out. So, we got out. And as a matter of fact, Search and Rescue did an operation. I called them and they sent their team over and they did an operation with their scuba gear. They went out and put the fountain out for me. So that was cool. Interesting. Yeah, that was pretty neat. They were in the water out, and I told them where to do it. They actually flew a GPS, and they spotted the center. Man, they mapped it out and had the center where it was supposed to go in the pond. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, so it was. It was the technology is unreal. So we also have our dock now, okay, which is a pier, and it's real nice. It's completed. That area is actually completed, you know, where the pond and the fishing pond is. So we have that. You go to the trailhead, okay, you cross over. We have a bridge. Actually, this bridge came out. It was repurposed. It was Getwell Road. They had to do a new bridge on Getwell because, you know, they rate bridges all over the county. And so that one needed to be taken out, a new one put in. Well, this one is good enough to walk on. So they brought it up here, and they moved it, and they put it over the big, you know, it's a pretty good big ditch right by the railroad track. So we have a bridge that goes over to probably, I'm going to say, probably about 100 acres or more, which is where our horse riding trails are going to be and our hiking trails. So we're in the process of right now of cutting all that in through the trees and getting our trails lined out. And it should be pretty close to, I'm going to say, 5 miles of walking and hiking trails. It's a beautiful piece of property over there that runs along the railroad track and also backs up with Lehman Roberts, you know, and everything. So we have a few fencing issues we have to do, you know, for safety purposes. But once that's completed, then you have your horse riding trails, your walking trails. Okay, so, and before you get to that, right there at the trailhead, we're building a pavilion. So you're going to have a bathroom down there, also at the trailhead. And you're going to have a nice playground. So I just, we just put the bid out for the playground. It's going to be a pretty big playground for the kids. So if you want to come down and you want to, you know, cook out or have a picnic, or if you want to have some type of event down there, you'll have a place to where your kids can come and, you know, and play. So
that's nice.
It's still, I can keep on. There's so much going on.
Well, I At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today. Tell me a little bit about the stables and the outside arena.
Okay.
Because I know you have a ton of stables out there, but you don't have horses.
All right, so let me tell you how this works. So what we're doing, you know, and when you start figuring out how you have to market, you know, the people who want to use your facilities, okay? Again, it's a financial issue on their part, too, because they want to know, what do you have? Well, you know, the first design of this building was designed with, and they're called stalls. They're stall barns. Okay, and we have 96 under roof right now. And so people can come in during events and rent the stall barns. Okay, so, you know, for their horses, and they get shavings and everything. But for long term, to make it to where it's worthwhile, I give you an example. I have a quarter horse show, quarter horse people who are wanting to come. I have cutting horse show people who are wanting to come. I have bigger barrel racing people who are wanting to come. And when I say bigger, that's more people, more stalls. You have to have the stalls to be able to accommodate them as any business, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to make it worth their while to come there to be able to put on a show. Most of your shows of that caliber go from a Thursday to a Sunday afternoon after church, okay? And most of them, and I'm going to say that, I'm not going to say all of them, but most of them have cowboy church during that Sunday. Mm-hmm. That way you're not missing out on church. You know, I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, we're promoting something, you're not going to church. They do. They get in the bleachers, they have their church, they have their church services, and then they start their events on Sunday. So that's great. So anywho, so with all that being said, it's in the budget to put another 114 stalls. At the end of those stalls, which will give us 210 stalls, which will be able to accommodate and handle those type of events. And so the board's they've already approved it. The engineering studies and everything, the design's already been done. It will not have a wash bay like the other one, but they'll utilize the wash bay that's already there, mm-hmm. you know, to wash your horses and cows and everything. But it'll also double as a agriculture for livestock. So they're portable stalls, so we'll be able to take them down, move them in, move them out. And also, we got a grant to build a 4-H barn, you know, because when we have a livestock show, you know, because now you're talking about cows, sheep, goats, you know, believe it or not, rabbits, chickens, you know. Oh, yeah, it's pretty neat.
Show rabbits.
Oh, that's huge.
Really?
Well, think about local kids who don't have how we grew up.
Yeah.
Okay. Who don't have cows, who don't have the pasture for them, but they have rabbits. Okay. And you would not believe these rabbit, gorgeous rabbits. You know, I can't tell you who they are or what they are. I mean, you know, I know what kind of rabbits we had, you know, but yeah, I mean, they show their rabbits because they could do it at home.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a, you know, I certainly don't say, well, my child can't get into 4-H because we don't have the land. Well, you can get into the showmanship on the rabbits or chickens. And it's amazing how many are involved in that. So if you live in a neighborhood, you know, and you can raise your rabbits and teach your children how to care for them, you know, and that's 4-H. You get with 4-H, they tell you what to do. They kind of lead and guide you into that. And the next thing you know, man, they're showing rabbits. We're talking about all the way to the state, you know, in Jackson. Oh, yeah, it goes that, it's that big. It's huge. So,
that's incredible.
Yep. Anyway, so it's pretty neat. You know, we got a emergency shelter we're talking about building also, mm-hmm. and that's in the process. You know, that's again, you know, that it'll house 600 people. Up on the far end, I'm going to say the east, well, close to the entrance, we will have another, it'll be a tennis court and a pickleball court. that we have grant for that's going to be built up there. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be two. Okay. And once that's get started, and we'll have another playground set up there. Mm-hmm. So, and then it'll have a, they'll have outdoor bathrooms and everything along with the mercy shelter. So that'll all be connected to where it'll all be right there at that one location. So yeah, we're growing. I know, right?
That's really incredible. So if budget was not a limitation at all, like if you, the world was perfect and it was up to you, what is one thing that you would love to see?
We're working on it. and let me be clear in this. We are not after anybody's fair, okay, at all, because the Mid-South Fair is great to DeSoto County and South yes. Haven, and it's going to continue to be great. It's just on a different level, okay? We want to have a county fair, okay? So we're working on our own county fair, but what we will do different in our fair compared to the Mid-South Fair, like they used to do when it was in Memphis, mm-hmm. okay? And where we are at the Lander Center, they don't really have that type of setup. But we do. It'll be a small-scale fair, okay? You'll be able to park. You can park on the landfill area. Just can't build on it. So we're going to gravel that in some sections up there where we can have parking, and we want you to come and come to a county fair to where you can come into it, and you can come see the livestock, and you can see 4-H will incorporate it, and hopefully we can incorporate another maybe rodeo involved in that, or some type of maybe a bull riding event, you know, to where, you know, it's kind of like what they did in Memphis years ago. And then you can come at the end of the fair, you can come to the rodeo on a 2-night rodeo and get tickets for that and then enjoy the fair. So yes, we're working on that. Actually, tentatively of next year sometime is when we're probably, hopefully we'll get us a small fair. You know, we'll start it. And then, and let it grow into what it's going to be. So, yeah. So
that's awesome. I love that.
But it's going to be a county fair.
You know? I love that. Yep. That's awesome.
And then the master gardeners, everybody be involved. You'll be able to go through these buildings. We'll hopefully be able to use the National Guard Armory, you know, to where you can have different events and set up, you know, and things like that, to where exhibitions and exhibits and things. So, yeah.
So what has surprised you the most since you took over doing this and building this facility?
As far as
it could be in the inside and the maintenance, the setup, the vision, the people you've interacted with.
Well, good question. So, you know, we started from the ground. I mean, it's like going into a house and you build your house, then you go, well, what do you need? Well, who'd ever thought you needed trash cans? Oh, okay. Well, you knew you did, but you go, okay, well, where am I getting trash cans from? You know, so then you go in and you got to have benches. You got to have, you know, you got to have panels. You know, these panels, when I say panels, are livestock panels. They got to be enough panels to be able to accommodate, you know, whatever business you're in. So if a man comes in here and says, I want to have a cutting horse show, think about this. I want to have a cutting horse show. What do you have to have when you have a cutting horse show? Well, you have to have horses. Okay. And that's their horses. Okay. Well, you got to have a place to put their horses. Okay. Cause they all just can't tie up at the trailer, especially if they're coming in for that 4-day event. So they're going to get your stalls. So you got to have enough stalls to accommodate in. But what is it you need if you're having a cutting horse show? What do cutting horses cut? Cattle. Wow. Where are we putting the cows? Okay. You got pens to put cows in. Okay. Wow. We got to have pens to put cows in. These people want to come. This is part of who we are. Okay. So, you know, you got a ranch show. You know, you got a team sorting and a team pinning show. That's a whole different group of people, whole different group of horses that do these things. So now you got to bring cows in. You got to find the cattle vendors. Okay, they come in, they bring the cows in, and we're talking about probably for that show about 300 cows. Okay, so, and what they do is they work these cows in and out, you know, so they won't get tired, because once your cows are tired, you got to get those cows out, bring a new section in, you know, because you got to have equal opportunity for the horse to do the same thing for the same people. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we've ordered pens for those, you know, but that they have to, you know, also double as livestock pens to when we're having a horse event, if you want to make round pens or something like that. So, you know, and I knew all about these things. You had to have tractors, you had to have bush hogs, you had to have mowing equipment, you know, you had to have skid steers, you know, be able to move these panels. You have to have the help and the staff who know how to do these things and can drive. One of the biggest things, and I'll tell you this, that dirt, okay, you thought, okay, dirt, okay, it's just dirt, but it's not just dirt, okay? So the arena dirt is different from the dirt outside because it has to be a mixture of sand, clay, and dirt, and it has to qualify because you're talking about high expensive dollar horses and humans and people who have to run on this. So you think about a barrel horse who's cutting a barrel, okay, they have, it's called footing. They have to have the footing to be able to come in and be able to make that turn without slipping or falling. And not just any dirt will do it. It has to be a special dirt. So that's something we had to go in and we had to send dirt off, get it tested, you know, through the agriculture, you know, the equine and, you know, and those people who do this and test it and say, okay. And they told us where we find it. You know, go look at it here. It's riverbed dirt mostly. And so we actually found some on our property, which saved the taxpayers a lot of money. Because our guys moved it in from the road department. We dumped it. We tested it. Everything was fine. And we got some great dirt. And so you'll know, you know, when we have an event in the outdoor arena, or the indoor arena, not the outdoor, but the indoor arena, we come in, we call it hard pan. So when you hard pan it, you come in with a roller, and you roll it and roll it and roll it, and the next thing you know, it's as hard as this, and you can walk on it. Mm-hmm. And you can have events out there, and you can do things, and you go, wow. And then you come back in, you take your machinery, which is called a reveal. You come in, you bust that back up, you work it, you water it, you get it ready, and now you got a horse showing a rodeo. You know, you get a guy gets bucked off a horse or gets bucked off a bull, it's not hurting him near as bad now because he's landing on soft, good dirt. So, yeah, that was a challenge to make sure that we did that right. Because everybody, you think about your horse, you spend a lot of money on them. You don't want them to get injured. So you had to make sure that the dirt was right. And so far, everybody brags on our dirt. So we got good dirt. Okay.
That's mind-blowing, though. Like, okay, so I grew up, I played at it anyway. I lived in the suburbs, but my uncle had a dairy farm. So I did go in the summer times and, you know, do all of those things. But I wasn't in the rodeo scene. I didn't do any of those types of things. So that is all new information to me. And the amount of stuff that you were just like, oh yeah, and you got to have this and this and this. That is incredible and mind-blowing at the detail that you have to go through to be able to just pull off one thing like that.
You do. And you have to be ready to set it up. You think about coming in with a rodeo. You know, we do have a county rodeo, which is in November, Patriot Pro Rodeo. You know, we went out and shopped a lot of rodeo people. And I'm not taking away anything from any rodeo people, you know, because they're all good. It's hard work. Setting up a rodeo, bringing your livestock in, you know, and making sure you have the bulls that buck, the horses that buck, you know, and then you bring your team people in who actually ride and do all that kind of stuff and promote a rodeo. You know, that's something that I go, wow, you know, so you have to be able to set these up. You have to have the equipment. You have to have the panels and everything to do it. You just can't not have it because, you know, you got a bull out there who weighs, what, 2,000 pounds, and he's not happy. You know, at all. And so you got to make sure that the public's safe, that the people who are riding and the participants are all safe and the contestants. So, you know, yeah, that's a lot. You have to take all that into account when you're, you know, going in and you're purchasing these things and you're saying, okay, this is who we are. This is what we're going to be, you know, and then that's the main thing. In any business, you got to decide who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you can go out way out into the abyss if you're not careful. And then all of a sudden you go, well, hang on, that's not working. And trial and error is good. Okay. And we've been going through some trial and error issues up there. So you go out and you say, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's rein it back in and let's figure out who we are again and let's try to head in that direction. That's kind of the reason why I said what I said in the beginning. You know, who are we? Because you can go out and do and just, you know, people want to do this and nothing against what they want to do. And it's all fine and dandy, but who are you?
Yeah.
That's what you got to decide. We are an agricultural education facility. You know, we ended up getting a grant for 300 trees and shrubs and bushes and those things. Okay. Well, that's great if you're going, you know, for beautification, but we planted them all over the place. And one of the things that we've done and Supervisor Caldwell even, you know, helped, you know, everybody has ideas, which are great ideas when you come into it. We ended up getting a laser machine, and so we've identified them with a QR code. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're cutting those. So we're going to put them right beside that plant, okay? and you're on a field trip, and it'll also, because, you know, that used to be Chickasaw Indians, probably Chickasaw land. And so you can QR code it and pull it up, and it'll also give you the name of the species of what it is in the bush and the tree, and then it'll also give you the Chickasaw name of that species of plant. So that's the educational part of it. So you're walking around and you see a tree and you go, what is that? And you hit it with your phone, get your QR code, and it tells you exactly what it is, you know, where it was grown, what it's indigenous to, and all these kind of things. So those are other things that we work on constantly up there, trying to figure out, you know, what's going to be educational. We just put some martin houses up. You know what, martin bird houses. Mm-hmm. We just put a couple of those up. I got a young man who's coming for the Board of Supervisors, not this coming board meeting, but on the 3rd, August the 3rd, who wants to earn his Eagle Scout.
Okay.
Okay, so we found a project for him, which is going to be great, okay, because his name's Bell, Luke Bell, and we found a location by the pond, and he's wanting to, we're going to go in and clean it up, and he's going to make a teaching area, an education area, you know, out of the wood benches and, you know, the podium and all that, and he's going to have it. I hate giving his thing away but it's too late now, but we're going to do it. It's good. It's a good thing, but that's my point. So he'll be able to come in and do something like that on this area and location where kids and adults the same can come in forever and ever and ever and go to that location and have field days and trips and can sit there and give an educational, and it overlooks the fishing pond.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's wonderful. I'm so excited about all the things that are still yet to come because the facility's gorgeous already. And just personally, thank you for letting us be a part of the journey as well. Yes, it's incredible. Guys, if you haven't been out to see the Agroeducation Center, I highly recommend you do. It's on Star Landing Road, just
1170 Star Landing Road,
yeah, there you
west.
Go.
Make sure you put west
in there.
Or
you'll end up on the other side of the county.
Yeah. That's right. You will. You've been there, done that, huh?
Just once, which is really bad because I live on that side of the county. So, you know. But guys, definitely check out the Agroeducation Center. If you have any questions or you just want to learn more about it, definitely go to their website. Call Michael. He'll be happy to sit down with you and tell you about all the things. And let's go show some rabbits.
Come
That's
see
so
them.
Cool.
Yeah, go get your rabbit.
Guys, if you haven't done so, please hit the subscribe button down at the bottom so you don't miss a single episode of South Haven Business Beat. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.